All right. Get your book out. We are going through the ABCs of Christian growth. Have the book like this or something similar. Probably not quite as nice if I printed it for you. I'm sorry. But we are going to begin, turn in there, we're going to begin on page number 3. And make sure that you fill out page number 1 there. You put your name in there, when you got saved, where you were, where you were scripturally baptized, and when. And then also your pastor's name, and the older brother or sister in Christ who's going to keep you accountable and guide you through, and so on and so forth. So you can... You don't have that page? We'll get you one. We'll get you one. We'll print you one. You can stick it in there. All right. Sorry about that. We have some technical difficulties sometimes with certain things. Sometimes it's the printer. Sometimes it's I use the book twice. Page out. All right. Our memory verse today is John 1:12. We already sang it a few minutes ago. We'll sing it again for those watching online or watching later. We'll sing John 1:12, and we'll only sing it once, so that way we can get on into the message, and then those who are home can just replay that part of the recording over and over again. All right. Ready? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We may sing it again at the very end. We'll see. All right. The question here in preliminary study number 1 says, what does salvation mean for me? Many of you have already gone through this study. Some of you have not. This should be a good reminder of what salvation means for you. Everybody here has a testimony of salvation. All members present at the moment. So it says here to look up the scripture references and answer the questions by filling in the actual words from the Bible. And, of course, these passages are from the King James Bible. So if you're using something else, it won't work. The words won't, it just won't work. Because some of the verses may not even be there. Letter A. Under what I was spiritually, you know, before we go through that, let's look at the verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. What I'll do is I'll call out the verse and I will go read it because I have mine marked and it'll be a little faster for us to do it that way. Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So, I was spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. John chapter 3 and verse 18. We have, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So I was condemned already. Very good. Letter C here is John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I had the wrath of God abiding on me. Letter D is Romans 6. And verse number 17. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So I was a servant of sin. Right, and then letter E, Revelation 20, verse 15, says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I was headed for the lake of fire. This is kind of an overview, because obviously those of you who are born again, we've already gone through what salvation is, and we do that a whole lot. So understand that we're not like jumping in and like delving into every little detail of each of these here. It's supposed to be a very basic discipleship study that we're going through. So if you have any questions, though, while we're going through here, do raise your hand. We'll talk about what your questions are. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. This is working out decently. Let's just look to it. We are. But I don't know that I want to do it with like 300 verses when we get to some of the lengthier ones. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was lost, yet sought by Jesus. Next section here is, so what I was. I was spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. I was condemned already. I had the wrath of God abiding on me. I was a servant of sin. I was headed for the lake of fire, and I was lost, yet sought by Jesus. Everybody got that? Everybody knows. All right? Now what God promised me. Romans 6, 1-3. Scripture song for that one. We won't sing the scripture songs every time. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gift of eternal life. God has promised me the gift of eternal life. Letter B here. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness, very good, of sins. Letter B there. Letter C, Titus chapter 2. This is no fun for some of you because it's already filled in. Sorry. Titus chapter 2. Of course, first week in January, it should also already be filled in when you come for Sunday school, because you've studied it throughout the week and filled it in. So that's, yes, each week your assignment is to fill in the next week's study. Are we here? Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So, yes, the answer is salvation, but it's not actually in the verse. But we infer that that's what we're talking about. So salvation is brought through His grace. So, good, you caught it. It was salvation there. The verse doesn't say the word salvation. Oh, it does. I'm sorry. Thank you. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Okay. Okay. For some reason, you know why I was not focusing on that? Because in my Bible I've got the word all, like, boldly, like, square, like a square around it, and then men underlined. Because this is a verse I generally go to discuss, you know, the salvation. All men, not just some. So, that's what threw me off. Yes. Salvation. Very good. Thank you for catching that. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, and it's hard to stop there, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Yeah, I know. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And you could actually just keep on reading the rest of the chapter. But we'll stop there because we got what we came for. In my heart. And it says, see also John 14:23. That's a freebie here. So I'll read it to you. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The abode, dwelling, being with us. Letter E, Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 19, Ephesians 3:19, says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I like that verse. Awesome. Love of Christ, very good, which passeth knowledge. Now some of this stuff, it's going to be very like elementary, okay? But as we get a little bit deeper in, it's just going to be good to see. And I'll tell you, it may seem kind of elementary to fill out the answers on here as we go through. But someday, you're going to be dealing with something like one of the other ones down here, like the family, the Christian home. What does God have to say about that? Doctrine of God. You're going to be dealing with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be, you know, immersion. And then somebody's going to say, well, where does it say in the Bible? Da, 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 da. Oh, yeah. I went there that one time when we were going through that Bible study. That's where it says it. This is really, to look up the verse, answer the question, so you know where it is. Make sense? All right. So, letter F, John 15. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full, or might be full. So the joy of Jesus Christ. Letter G, Philippians 4. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So God has promised me the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, salvation brought through His grace. He's promised to dwell in my heart. He's promised that the love of Christ. He's promised to give me the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, the joy of Jesus Christ, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Find a wrong answer. That's all right. Tell on, guys. No, I'm just kidding. All right. What I did. What did you do when you got saved? Well, this should hopefully this is exactly what you did. If it's not, then, well, this is an opportunity to take care of that. All right, letter A. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called upon the name of the Lord. Letter B, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. believed in my heart. And then John chapter 1, verse 12, which is our memory verse, we sang what, like four times today so far. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I received Him, received Jesus Christ. And letter D, what else did we do? Not to be forgotten or skipped over. In Acts 17, verse number 30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So I repented of my sins. Awesome. Now, a lot of these things that we're talking about, we could do whole studies on those particular things. Okay? But we're not doing that today. We're just mentioning them and going on down through. Some other time we can do a full study of those things as the Lord leads. So, what I did, I called upon the name of the Lord, I believed in my heart, I received Him, I repented of my sins. Not necessarily all in that order, okay? But those were the things that we did when we were born again. So, what did God do? Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we were, or He did what? Justified me freely. All right? Alright, Revelation chapter 5, I'm sorry, chapter 1 verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings. That's not the passage that is supposed to be referenced here. Alright, put a line through Revelation 1:5. I do there. Is it? Oh my goodness, I didn't turn the page. Oops. Wrong tab. Yep, there we go. Let me read that verse again. Sorry. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings. Man, thank you guys. I'm still half asleep from yesterday's fun. Kings of the earth. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I don't know what I would do without you guys. Awesome. Alright, so the answer to letter B is what? Washed. Washed me from my sins. Or if you're from the South, washed. Or washed. Washed or washed. What's that? Not enough spaces. That's right. Alright. It doesn't have to be spelled right, as long as you say it right. Alright. Letter C, Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it any thing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So He secured my name in the Lamb's book of life. Very good. Very good. Letter D, Romans 8, verse 14 and 15. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, like Papa, Daddy. My papa. So He adopted me as a son of God. Very, very good. I'm a child of God. That's Romans 8, 14, 15. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's easy enough. Accepted me in the Beloved. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He sanctified me. There we go. You could have said justified also, but they've got the S there to tell you that it's the word sanctified. And we already dealt with justified at the top. All right. One more verse we'll turn to and then kind of look over the last info here, some explanation of some words and so on. We are in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So God made me a new creature. Very good. God made me a new creature. So what God did, He justified me freely. He washed me from my sins. He secured my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He adopted me as a son of God or a child of God. He accepted me in the Beloved. He sanctified me and made me a new creature. This is all what salvation means for us. So a few words to explain the word repentance as we dealt with above. The word repentance, he has here a change of attitude resulting in a change of action about sin. I believe repentance has to do with the heart, the mind, and your reflection toward God, your reasoning, and your belief. When you repent, you turn to God, and there's many other passages we could look to. As Paul says, you turn to God from idols. This is repentance. It's when you've turned from your wicked way to God. Now, this is not a complete and total reformation of your life, in the sense that you didn't just change all of your works from bad works to now good works, but rather your mind, one, was changed concerning your sin, recognizing that your sin is sinful. As they say in Romans chapter 7, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And he also says that that the law was written there that sin might be exceeding sinful, that he might see his sin as exceeding sinful. And so as we see our sin the way God does, we've changed our mind concerning our sin. That's repentance concerning sin. We also have to repent concerning Christ, who He is. We recognize Christ as the Lord, as the God of heaven, the one who is able to save us from our sins. And we've changed our mind to match the mind of God in the Bible. That's repentance. Now, there's another aspect of repentance, I believe it's supernatural, which has to do with this last verse we went to. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we say change of mind, we don't mean a flippant like, well, I was going to do this, but I changed my mind, I'm going to do this instead. No, we mean like literally your mind is changed. Your old mind is taken out, and a new mind is put in. Our old man is taken away. It's crucified with Christ. A new man is put back in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, who can know the mind of the Lord? And we may, we have
a mind of Christ.
That seeketh after God. But once we've turned to God from our wickedness, weakness and trusted in Him, He changes that. So we don't believe in works salvation. We don't believe that we change our life to be saved, but we believe that once we're saved, our life will change. That topic, we could just go on that topic, but I just wanted to give a basic definition or basic explanation of the word repentance, because a lot of people like to throw the word repentance out because they equate repentance with a changed life, whereas repentance in and of itself begins without the changed life, but the results of repentance causes a changed life. So it's they do go together. However, it's not the changed life that saves one's soul. It's the changed life that tells everybody else that that soul has been saved. Okay? So, justification. To be declared as not guilty, just as if I'd never sinned, is what he says here. I would say justification is a little deeper than that, because the fact of the matter is we are guilty. We're all guilty. Instead of saying, declared not guilty, I would say rather, and you can write this in your book there as well if you'd like. Yes, it is just as if I had never sinned because someone else paid the penalty. Okay, so justification is when you're cleared of the charges that you are due. Okay, now justification in some cases shows that you're not guilty in the case that you're okay, well, he didn't commit the crime, so he's therefore cleared of his charges. Well, in our case, justification means that we, being guilty, are looked at as cleared and we're not going to be held for the penalty of that sin because we're justified because Christ cleared us, He paid for it. So, sanctification. Be set apart by God and for God, aside for His use. Grace is undeserved or unmerited favor. The divine influence of God upon the heart is one thing that I'd seen before. Grace is God's power that He gives us. It's unmerited. It's not deserved. But He pours His grace out on us, He gives us favor in doing so. But part of grace that's often missed, that's also missed in this definition here, is the fact that grace gives us the power to do what God's called us to do. It's the grace of God. You know, in Romans chapter 6, where it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And chapter 5, dealing with the grace where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. The grace is what gives us the forgiveness of sins. It's unmerited and it's favor from God. But grace also will give us as He gives grace to the humble and resists the proud, grace is also going to empower us to do what God would have us to do. So when you pray for grace, you're not only praying that God would have favor on you, you're also praying that God would empower you to do His will. Yes, sir. Or were you just amen with the finger? Right. Romans 5. Okay. Awesome. Amen. Now you have a reading assignment. You have a reading assignment. Your reading assignment, as we continue through our study, is to read the Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament. I don't mean this week. Again, reading the Gospel of John. Just if you read a chapter a day, or if you read 10 chapters a day or whatever, just begin reading the Gospel of John. And then memorize John 1:12, which you should have down. You know what? Let's sing it one more time, and then we'll close in prayer. It's going to be stuck in your head all week, right? All right. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. All right, who was able to sing that without looking at the words? Hey, you got it. Amen. Next week we will look at the preliminary study number 2, and that is, what does God expect from me? We have a peeker. And we'll go through that, and then next year, beginning with the first Sunday next year, we will begin letter A, assurance of salvation. Let us pray. We're going to pray, Joseph. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given us. Lord, we thank you so much for just all that you do. And we just pray, Father, now that you would just help us to take this, Lord, and teach it to others who are able to teach it to others. And Lord, we pray, Father, your blessing now in the service to come. Look forward to all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah.